Hey guys, what's up? You just tuned in to your favorite podcast, Phenomena Nations. I'm your host, Blaze9. Today I'm alone today. And for all my nerd fans out there, we're going to be talking about Cthulhu. Speaking about nerds, I'm Comic-Con 2018. I have, where I live. It's not local for me, but like, it's about a 2-hour trip, but like, around where I live. We have, like, a smaller Comic-Con than, like, the huge-ass San Diego Comic-Con, you know? And we got, pretty cool. I'm going there. I'm going as the Green Hornet, my favorite action hero, superhero, comic, character. And I'm going with a friend. He's going as Jar Jar, NitroFX656. He's going as Jar Jar Binks from The Phantom Menace. Technically it'll be the fourth Star Wars movie, but titled the first Star Wars movie. You know, because that weird stuff with, the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but I like it. And, Comic-Con, yeah. I'm not sure. I've never actually been to a Comic-Con. But I hope it's cool. $25 a ticket. I guess that's what you get for a smaller Comic-Con. And we actually had Stan Lee coming over one time. 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Well, and I hope I see a Cthulhu in there. Someone dressed as Cthulhu. If not, the next time, after this time, I might have to go as Cthulhu. But enough about Comic-Con. Let's get on to Cthulhu. So, Cthulhu's creepy, I guess. But, Cthulhu is a cosmic entity. Created by the writer H.P. Lovecraft, and first introduced in the short story, The Call of Cthulhu, published in the American pulp magazine, Weird Tales, in 1928. So H.P. Lovecraft is like, he's like really respected in like the writing community. He's like, he's also featured in, like, talked about in podcasts such as Blurry Photos. They mention him in the beginning of episode 58, I believe. The Greyman of Ben McDo. I'll do an episode on that. Is also, he is a very respected writer, nonetheless. He is considered a great old one within the pantheon of Lovecraftian cosmic entities. The creature has been featured in numerous popular culture references, which I will get to right after this. Almost. Lovecraft depicts Cthulhu as a giant entity worshipped by cultists. Cthulhu's appearance is described as looking like an octopus, a dragon, and a character of human form. Its name was given to the Lovecraft-inspired universe, where its fellow entities exist, the Cthulhu mythos. And, when I'm done talking about, like, this stuff, there's a couple questions, like, is Cthulhu male or female? That is, answered, I guess. But here's in popular culture and stuff. Let's do games first. Cthulhu appears as a monster in many video games. Terraria features bosses named after the character, and the Brain of Cthulhu they have, the Eye of Cthulhu, and I'm pretty sure you can fight just Cthulhu in there. Maybe that's Photoshop. But I've seen a picture. But yeah. And he appears in the main inspiration for the story of Call of Duty Black Ops 3 Zombie Sega. I don't really play the zombie stuff in COD. But the massively multiplayer online role player game, World of Warcraft, has numerous references to Cthulhu and the mythos, with one of the game's old gods named N'Zoth resting in the Sunken City. Okay. In 2016, Z-Man Games released an alternate version of their board game, Pandemic. The new adaptation, Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu, is set in the Cthulhu mythos and explores race to save the world before Cthulhu returns. It's just like, They, pretty sure that's when they stopped doing Xbox 360 games, and I have a 360 still. So, in 2006, Bethesda, did I say that right? Okay. Softworks together with Ubisoft and 2K Games published a game made by Head First Productions called Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth, based on the works of Lovecraft. Cthulhu himself does not appear as the main antagonist of the game, are the Deep Ones from The Shadow Over Innsmouth and the Sea God Dagon. But his appearance is alluded to several times, and a statue depicting him appears in one of the temples that will negatively affect the player's sanity. One of Cthulhu's quote-unquote chosen, a star spawn of Cthulhu, a hideous creature similar in appearance to the Abomination himself, also appears as a late-game enemy. Oh, there's even one on politics. Cthulhu has appeared as a parody candidate in several elections, including the 2010 Polish presidential election and the 2012-2016 U.S. presidential elections. Does it say faw or fox? I'm just going to say faw. F-A-U-X. The faw campaigns usually satirized voters who claim to vote for the lesser evil. Quote-unquote lesser evil. Oh, look at this. Here's another game. Oh, here it is. On March 19th, 2007, Steve Jackson Games released an iteration of the card game Munchkin called Munchkin Cthulhu. The game presents Cthulhu and its surrounding mythos with cartoon style and comedic tone, heavily played upon themes of madness and cultism. Great Cthulhu features a standalone monster in the deck, along with various parodies of Lovecraft's creatures. I'm not sure if a cartoon art style with a comedic tone, Cthulhu, heavily playing upon themes of madness and cultism, works good together, per se. Not sure, but I'm just gonna go with that. Okay, cool. Cthulhu is depicted as an overweight, bright green creature with a large bulbous head and a pair of disproportionately small wings. That would be funny to see. I'm gonna look that up. Let me see if I can, actually. But, Cthulhu. Not sure where I stand on that thing. I'm not saying it's pretty cool. But, the picture's, poof. Not sure if that's a thing. That was really awkward. Well, it's not loading, so I'll just read from here, the Wikipedia page. Here we got film and TV. Several films and television programs feature the threat of Cthulhu returning to dominate the universe. A vivid example of the latter is three episodes of the adult cartoon series South Park, in which Eric Cartman turns out to be so irredeemably evil that he is able to tame Cthulhu and direct him to annihilate personal enemies. In those episodes, Cthulhu Highsight, Mysterion Rises, and Cthulhu vs. Cthulhu and Friends, Cthulhu is faithfully represented as the monstrous tentacle-mouth godlike being Lovecraft describes. Also, Supernatural devoted Let It Bleed, episode 21 of season 6, to a Lovecraft-inspired plot with a teen character Ben even shown reading a graphic novel entitled Cthulhu Tales right before he is kidnapped by demons who are crafting an evil empire to put purgatory under their control. In the popular adult animated science fiction sitcom Rick and Morty, a depiction of Cthulhu can be seen in the opening sequence immediately prior to the title card. On October 27th, 1987, Cthulhu appeared in Season 2, Episode 28 of The Real Ghostbusters, animated cartoon entitled The Collect Call of Cthulhu, in which the Ghostbusters went up against the spawn and cult of Cthulhu. Hey, The Real Ghostbusters is on Netflix. I have Netflix. Whoa, that's awesome. I'll have to watch that. Oh, I'm tired. But I guess this must be done. Music. There's quite a lot. Heavy metal band Metallica reference Cthulhu in the song Dream No More from their 26th album Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Oh, I love that album. I have it on CD. CD players. I got a brand new CD player for last Christmas. Pfft. Yeah, I'm still living in 2018. Ugh. Oh, yeah. As well as on the 1984 album Ride the Lightning, with the instrumental song The Call of Cthulhu. It's spelled K-T-U-L-U. Inspired by H.P. Lovecraft's book The Shadow Over Innsmouth, which was introduced to the rest of the band by Cliff Burton. You will be missed. He died in a bus crash. And on the 1986 album Master of Puppets, with the song The Thing That Should Not Be, whose lyrics are based on The Shadow Over Innsmouth and contain partial quotes from The Call of Cthulhu. The second album of British steampunk band The Men Will Not Be Blamed for Nothing features the song Margate Fatang, for Fatang being, I hope I'm saying that right, being the term used in the Cthulhu mythology for dreaming. The song describes the band taking a holiday in the seaside town of Margate, only to be met by Cthulhu, who proceeds to ruin their trip and eat their grandmother, which they later thank the beast for later. Guys, the men that will not be blamed for nothing, I'm pretty sure you guys should get some help. Go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, whatever one would be better, because you actually should probably get some help. English extreme metal band Cradle Filth's fourth album, Midian, features the song titled Cthulhu Dawn, although the lyrics seem to have nothing to do with Lovecraft's sea monster. If you guys are going to have a song called Cthulhu Dawn, you might as well mention Cthulhu. The song Last Exit for the Lost by British gothic rock band Fields of Nephilim references Cthulhu, or Cthulhu, as it's spelled on the album's inner sleeve, spelled K-T-H-U-L-H-U. In the lines, we're getting closer, I can see the door, closer and closer, Cthulhu calls. That's definitely not how he sang it. Or she. Who am I to judge? So let's get back to the actual, not pop culture stuff, like the actual Cthulhu. So let's get to etymology, spelling, and pronunciation. I'm sleeping already. But though invented by Lovecraft in 1928, the name Cthulhu is probably derived from the word Chthonic, derived from the classical Greek meaning subterranean, as apparently suggested by Lovecraft himself at the end of his 1923 tale, The Rats in the Walls. I'm talking like this because it makes things sound always important. Baloney, trampoline, dog, motorcycle. I bet that sounded really important, but in reality, didn't make no sense. Okay, let's get back. Lovecraft transcribed the pronunciation of Cthulhu to Cthulhu. And said that the first syllable the first syllable pronounced gutturally and very thickly. Thick. The U is about like that in full, and the first syllable is not unlike quo in sound. Hence, the H represents the guttural thickness, unquote. An approximate IPA transcription based on the description of the 9 PA signs would be... look this up, it looks really weird. Looks like ancient Egyptian stuff. So I'm not even going to read that. S.T. Joshi points out, however, that Lovecraft gave several differing pronunciations on different occasions. According to Lovecraft, this is merely the closest that the human vocal apparatus can come to reproducing the syllables of an alien language. Okay, but how do you know what the alien language sounds like unless he's really an alien? I'm sorry, this turned out to be talking about a fictional character from a story to conspiracy theories. New conspiracy theory, H.P. Lovecraft is an alien. Thank you. You're so smart, Blaze. Thank you. Cthulhu has also been spelled in many other ways, including Tulu, T-U-L-U, Cthulhu. I'm just pronouncing them how they're spelled, with a K-A-T-U-L-U, and Cthulhu, with K-U-T-U-L-U. The name is often preceded by the epithet Great, Dead, or Dread. Okay. Let's see here. We got, Okay, let's see. We got, information about it. It's got a species. It is the Great Old One. It has a title, too. High Priest of Great Old Ones. The Great Dreamer. The Sleeper of Relia. Relia? Did I say that right? And he's got a family, too? Weird. Azathoth. Sounds like I'm saying, add the sauce. What kind of sauce, sir? Barbecue. Shut up and give me some freaking barbecue sauce, okay? Yes, sir. And then we got Yog-Sothoth, of his grandfather, Shub, Nigurath is his grandmother, and Nug, simply, is his parent. Description! The Call of Cthulhu, H.P. Lovecraft's, describes a statue of Cthulhu as a monster vaguely anthropoid outline with an octopus-like head whose face was a mass of feelers, a scaly rubber-looking body, prodigious claws on hind and forefeet, and long, narrow wings behind. Cthulhu has been described in appearance as resembling an octopus, a dragon, and a human caricature. Hundreds of meters tall, with webbed human-looking arms and legs, and a pair of rudimentary look, rudimentary wings on its back, Cthulhu's head is depicted as similar to the entirety of a giant octopus, with an unknown number of tentacles surrounding its supposed mouth. Simply looking upon the creature drives the viewer insane, a trait shared by many of the great old ones and outer gods. So, yeah. And what else we got? Ooh, let's see here. Yes, we got Dungeons and Dragons. The character's influence also extended into recreational literature, games company, TSR. Included an entire chapter on the Cthulhu mythos, including statistics for the character. In the first printing of Dungeons and Dragons source book, Deities and Demigods, 1980. TSR, however, were unaware that Arkham House, who asserted copyright on almost all Lovecraft literature, had already licensed the Cthulhu property to the game company Chaosium, although Chaosium stipulated that TSR could continue to use the material if each future edition featured a published credit to Chaosium. TSR refused the material, and the material was removed from all subsequent editions. You guys are freaking... What? If they just said, can you guys sponsor us in your book? TSR's like, no! I'm Cornholio! No, probably not like that. But, if TSR, if you guys could just... feature their name in your book and if you just put their name and featured a credit to Chaosium, you guys could just have Cthulhu on and on. You guys think with your head. Cthulhu was once again mentioned in a fifth edition of D&D of the D&D Player's Handbook 2014 after Dagon, another of Lovecraft's fictional creations, featured prominently in the fourth edition of the game rules. Well, that almost completely wraps it up. But, here, we got a couple things. We got, is Cthulhu male or female? It is very ancient compared to humans. Being around since the dinosaurs. It has the alien appearance of a large green dragon with the head of a squid and human-like hands. There are said to be many people that worship it as their deity because of its powers over the mind. I'm sorry if I'm butchering the name deity. But right here just says Cthulhu is neither male nor female. What religion that believes in Cthulhu? Besides the multiple hoax, Necronomicon, I'm pretty sure that name is based off the necromancer from originally mentioned in the 1937 book The Hobbit. Besides the multiple hoax Necronomicon editions, authors have created other books supporting the belief the Cthulhu mythos isn't just a literary device. Derek Dishaw, a personality in Lovecraft fandom, wrote his own cult of Cthulhu Bible, mixing elements of the mythos with Satanism and other philosophies. Huh. Good for you. Well, I think that just about wraps her up for the Cthulhu stuff anyway. TSR, you just could have gave them credit. My gosh. But yeah, we're coming to a close on this episode. So I would like to talk about sponsoring my podcast. Sorry. Looking for sponsors. And you don't have to sponsor my podcast, you can just fund it too. But I am looking for sponsors. Hint, hint, McDonald's. But I'll take any sponsor. As long as I get a sponsor. And then, got that. Tell your friend, all your friends, family, and the random guy I see at Subway about this podcast. Make up your own ads for it. Put them out. Thank you. I believe that's it. If you guys want to fund and sponsor my podcast, let me know.